This episode of Behind the Video is brought to you by the Independent Media Network. The Independent Media Network helps journalists and content creators create their own jobs by building sustainable online businesses. If you're an unemployed or underemployed journalist or content creator, visit IMNCT.com for more information. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Video, episode number 74. I am in the kitchen and on dad duty once again, but we are going to soldier on here, and hopefully the baby will remain entertained throughout the course of the broadcast. And if you're listening to the recording, we edited out any fun baby activity. So, so she's upstairs right now in her crib, and she's I got the little monitor here, so I'm not neglecting my child. We are 100% on the up and up here, so she will be just fine. So, Tim, we have no guests this week, but I figured we would do a little. By the way, Tim Street's joining me from L.A. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Lon. How are you?
I am well. It is freezing here, by the way. We've got like this blustery, cold wind thing. It's just horrible. So
we sent it your way, man.
Thank you.
LA.
And you know, like last night, it wasn't supposed to snow at all. We had like a little dusting of snow happen too. So it was very unexpected. But you know, you deal with what you got to deal with. So, we don't have a guest this morning, but I've been looking at my YouTube revenue lately, and now that I'm getting, you know, a moderate amount of traffic on the channel, I'm starting to look at some analytics and discern some things and talking to some other folks too. And what I've discovered is that if you have content that is appealing to older audiences, older like middle-aged men like you and me, Tim, or getting close to middle age, that you get more money per view.
Interesting.
And
Now, do you attribute that to click-throughs, or do they are we just so lazy that we sit through the pre-rolls?
Could be that. I almost feel like maybe there's like a scarcity here of older people on YouTube watching videos, you know? And
yeah, that's true.
So, I think that might be what goes into it. What I've noticed is that every time, so you know, you go on there and you have the graph of, you know, different age groups and whatnot that looked at your video. Typically, on the older trending side, I will see anywhere from 30 or 40% greater CPM on those videos than I would on things that appeal to younger people. And a great example is I did like that Tesla review where I was driving around in the Tesla with the Google Glass, you know, being the ultimate Uber gadget geek.
Right.
So that one had like 57,000 views or some crazy number like that. You know, earned a good amount of money. But the a video I did on this D-Link security camera was just a review.
Right.
Had 21,000 views, but twice the revenue, because the audience was trending.
Here's the other thing too. You take those two subjects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tesla is not taking out Google Ads.
Right.
There aren't that many people that are going to be advertising against the title Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
There are some, right? Whereas the D-Link, that's a consumer product that a lot of people are competing against. And so the keywords that you put in your description and in your tags, if you spent the time to look those up and put them in a spreadsheet and compare those to the Tesla keywords, I would bet that people are willing to pay more for the D-Link words than they are for the Tesla words, just because the Tesla is not a thing that you buy while you're watching a video.
Right. That's a good point. I'm going to have to look into this a little bit more because
Something that I like to do before I title a show and before I tag it is I log into AdSense, and AdSense is free. And so AdSense is where you buy advertising.
Oh, so AdWords.
AdWords. Yeah. Sorry, I always get them mixed up.
Yeah, it's me too. Yeah. One goes out.
Yeah. So you log into AdWords where you would buy stuff, but instead of buying stuff, you put in the title or the key. Like if the key phrase is Tesla, you put in Tesla, and then it shows you what other phrases might be, like electric car would probably pop up. And then you can see the monthly searches that people do for those keywords, and it'll give you an idea. Now, just because something has high keyword, has a lot of searches for that in a month, in a given month, doesn't mean that that's necessarily the best title. What you want to look at is what has a lot of searches but also has a lot of competition, meaning that people are fighting for that. That means if there's competition, they're going to pay more money for it, which means, let's say it's something that, like, you have a word like Tesla that has a million searches, but then you have electric car, and electric car only has 100,000, which the opposite is probably too, but
right,
for the sake of this conversation, right. You look at electric car, and electric car might have higher competition and higher CPMs. And so if you've got those phrases that have higher CPMs and have a decent amount of click-throughs. Now, you can also do this in YouTube. YouTube has a keyword tool as well, but I've just never felt like no matter what I type in, Justin Bieber comes up. So I don't know what to tell you.
So that's the key there. So, and it's the keyword planner, right? Is that what you suggest people use?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's tools, and it's the keyword tool. And you have to, like, it's not obvious. Like, you have to click down at, like, three different levels to get to it. So play around there, and it changes just like Google Hangouts changes every week.
Every week it changes. So really it might be that I just stumbled across the better keyword for that video that I posted, which really enhanced its
Yeah, or the subject itself to begin with is something that is just more targeted to people that are spending money in this space.
So it's a fascinating marketplace, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, if you're doing it right, you can make a living off of it. But you're paying your grocery bill, right?
Exactly. That's what I tell my wife, at least. But it pays for more gadgets.
Speaking of gadgets, this is really weird. I sent an email to a friend of mine who works on the Kindle team.
Okay.
I can't use his name. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Won't say anything.
And right after I send him that email, I get an email from Amazon offering me a 30-day trial of a Kindle Fire HDX or something like that.
Okay. So did you get it?
Yeah, absolutely. Came in the mail. And so I'm going to test that out and use it in a new series that I'm working on that I can't talk about right now. But anyways, so that was kind of cool, and then I shot my friend back an email thinking that he had somehow sent it to me, and he's like, no, he said, either we have you really targeted or Google has you really targeted.
Oh, as an influencer
or
in
both.
This space. Oh, interesting.
Or both.
Yeah, because that's what got me into the Amazon Vine program. You know, people always ask me, how did you get into this thing? Because, you know, I get all sorts of stuff every month, and I said, I have no idea. I got an email like 3 years ago saying, hey, join it, and, you know, what do you know? And what's been intriguing is now my so all the videos I do, I put on Amazon also, just because it gives you some profile, and it actually gives you access to more products, because you don't just get Amazon Vine stuff. You get other manufacturers contacting you. I'm like number 430 on the Amazon reviewer rank now, which is like, it's crazy.
For 2014, we're going to bump you up, man. That's
we got to do it. I'm 422. I want to get into the top 10. That's my objective here. But what happens is that the higher your rank goes, I think the more good stuff gets targeted towards you, for review. So, and I've also found that a lot of times,
maybe you can time it so that, you know, you get a bounce house just in time for your daughter to enjoy it. Yeah. So start now, man. You get a bounce house.
Exactly. You need the bounce house. It's in time for the first year. Yeah, I started another YouTube channel called Dad Pro Tips, where I review all the kids' stuff that I get that's of interest. So I've got to do a little bit more work on that. But, you know, once she gets older,
that's the one.
That's the one.
Well, that's going to get you into the top 10.
That one might. You know, and it's funny because the kids' stuff does. I mean, that's where people have the most interest in the product, just because, you know, they're thinking about purchasing this thing, and there is so much marketing out there that
it's
doesn't
an emotional buy. The only thing that comes close is like pet stuff, right?
That's right. Yeah, that and the pet stuff. And I think what I'll do when my daughter's old enough is have her do some reviews of toys herself, which I think would be really fun for her if she's into it.
You know, you should talk with her agent first.
That's the goal, is I need to be the overbearing parent that wants to retire before I hit 50.
Yeah,
so
that's for sure.
That's my objective. So we'll see where that goes. But, you know, another overbearing personality out there is Kanye West, who President Obama has called a jackass on numerous occasions. And I guess he's becoming kind of like a professional troll, right?
Mm-hmm. It seems that way.
So what happened with Zappos this week?
So my understanding of what happened, now I could get this wrong because I don't have my head totally around it, but it's my understanding that Tony Hsieh, who is the founder of Zappos, and by the way, he sold his first company to, I think, Microsoft, and I may be getting this wrong, but I think he sold his first company for a couple hundred million dollars to Microsoft. Then he started Zappos, and he sold Zappos to Amazon for $900 million, almost $1 billion, right?
He's still working there.
He's still working there. He's still the CEO. And he was giving Kanye West some advice, I guess, is what I've heard through the grapevine. And
Kanye didn't like the advice, right?
Didn't like the advice, and he said a four-letter word that is the word that refers to crap.
Right.
And that, why is Zappos giving me advice? They just sell a bunch of crap. And Zappos ran with it. And they created a page on their site selling a plunger, and they had a picture of a plunger in the toilet. They had a video demonstration, a video review of the plunger.
That's brilliant.
And they totally went out of their way to respond to him by building a product that was about crap. And they had reviews there, and it just – this happened on Monday, and it just became a phenomenon throughout the week, especially in social media circles. I know people were speaking about it at conventions. That's where I heard about it. I mean, I missed it off of the I just wasn't paying attention. But it has created a lot of buzz with inside the business community on how to respond to negative content. And what you got to do first is you got to listen. You got to be paying attention. You got to be setting Google Alerts or using more professional tools like Radian 6. There's other ones that are out there, but you got to pay attention to that conversation that's going about your product, because people are going to be talking about you whether you like it or not. And you need to be able to have a smart way and have an action plan in place on how you're going to deal with that. And I don't think they had one in place for this particular thing, but the fact that they'd already had the conversation and knew how they would respond to that type of comment really helped them get this turned around in very little time and get it out there and create buzz all in of itself. And I would bet that we're going to see this particular action used as a case study in marketing events and social media events for years to come.
And I think what we're also going to see I have no doubt that this was a genuine comment by Kanye. It wasn't designed when the two of them sat down together. But
no, I know Tony, and he's just a straightforward, super nice, really, really nice guy. So I can't see that happening.
Right. But other companies might say, hey, you know what? We'll pay you to troll us, and we're going to come back with this, you know, and kind of fabricate.
I would totally do that.
Yeah.
But then it would be attached to a story. And,
right, you know, right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, did Tony come by New Media Expo this past year? Because I think he was roaming around the halls kind of quietly.
Yeah, I mean, he'll show up because he's in Vegas, and he occasionally will invite some of the people that attend New Media Expo. And if you guys are thinking about it, and want a discount, I think I can still get a discount code. I don't know. But if you do, shoot me a tweet at OneTimStreet on Twitter, and I'll see if I can hook you up with a discount code. New Media Expo takes place in Vegas January 4th through the 6th. And if you are into online video, if you're into ebooks, if you're into podcasting, if you're into blogging, it is a great place to learn, but it's also a great place to meet people that are doing this and are making a living at it and are really willing to share information. So it's a really fun event, and it's going to be capped off with the International Academy of Web Television Awards. The IAWTV Awards are going to take place there, and that's where you get to see the top YouTubers and top web video creators win awards for their web series. And there's still time to enter that. So if you do have a web series, just go to iawtv.org, and I think you have a few more days to register to enter. And the entries are coming in fast and furious. I think it's going to be a really fun event.
It should be fun. I'm looking forward to getting out there again. And, you know, these people are roaming the halls, like these really influential people in this space. And they're really cool.
People love talking to you. Yeah, like Scott Monning from Ford. He runs social media for Ford. Super nice guy.
Yep.
He's been there in the past. I don't know if he'll be there this year because he just had a baby.
Right.
Or his wife did. Yep. And but just a great place to meet folks. And it's big, but it's not that big that you can't just meet people in the hallway.
Yeah, it's really cool. I got to meet Leo Laporte, and I think I actually talked to the guy from Zappos. I didn't even know it was him. He was just so unassuming, uh-huh. You know. It was really, yeah. He was just kind of checking things out. And, you know, there's a lot of people there, too, that are from really large brands and other things that are really not there to make any kind of presence known, but they're looking around to see, you know, what might be happening. And it's just a neat, I really got a lot out of that week.
One of the years, I think it was 08, yeah, it was 08. I was sitting at a table and I was, you know, working on my laptop, and guy sits down next to me and he looks really familiar, and he's like texting, and then he gets on the phone and he starts talking, and I slowly realized that this guy's on the Obama campaign.
They're there. Like, they're just kind of hanging out and looking at it. Yeah. So, hey, before we get into the news, we got a question from the audience. Matthew in our Q&A is asking, let me add his question to the currently answering mode here. Where is your YouTube traffic driven from? Maybe he's asking this of me. Social sites, Google, and YouTube traffic. Where is it coming from? And I think, Matt, the answer is, for me, it's a lot of search. Because I'm reviewing products, that a bulk of my traffic comes from there. And what's interesting is that I have now, I think, over 2,000 subscribers on the channel. I get about 10 to 15 a day now. It's really pretty crazy. And people are subscribing for different reasons. So I've been finding that if I have people that, I have a couple of videos that I've done, like, or products I've done a number of videos about. So like my TV switcher in the basement, the Ouya game console. So sometimes when I do one of those videos, a lot of the initial inbound traffic is going to come from those subscribers who subscribe to me because they were interested in that topic. But for me, a lot of it's driven by search, which I think is unusual. Because when we had Dane on, Dane's mentioned that, you know, you should be generating your traffic from your audience more than search, and mine's the exact opposite. So,
you are targeting new products that people are looking for.
Right.
That's different than doing an entertainment show.
Exactly.
So people are searching for relevant information, and you've got it tagged correctly, and so that's why they're finding it. And they're actually going to YouTube to look for a video about the thing that you're reviewing. So it's highly targeted what you're creating. Now, have you pimped out your channel at all?
I have. Yep, I did the
trailer
thing.
So can you bring up that page for a second?
Yeah, I can. Yep, let me pull it up real quick here.
So if you guys haven't, like, really set up your channel, what you want to do first of all is create a trailer that explains what your channel's about. And you want to also set up some channel art. So there's different things that you can do on your YouTube channel. So when people get there, it's nice and pretty as opposed to just kind of vacant. That way you're going to get the subscribers. And you want to ask for subscribers. You don't get subscribers unless you ask for them. So you got to make sure that in the videos that you're creating, you're asking for those.
And what's cool about it is that they've made it simpler, because I've never been much of an artist, as you can see from my crappy logo up here. And this is actually on purpose, because there's a lot of polish out there, Tim,
This cuts through for you, right?
Yeah, like, I just want to look. I'm not some guy that's getting paid to do this. Well, sort of, but not, you know, this is a hobby. And I'm doing this because I like to do it. I'm passionate about the things that I do with it. And
you've also created these lists, right?
Right, exactly. So you can create these little lists here so what I did is I kind of, the things that I've done a lot of different reviews on, I've kind of added into these little lists here. So you can see the Ouya reviews.
Okay, let's explain for the folks listening in the podcast what we're seeing.
So what I've done, so let's say we're looking at the Ouya game console. So as you're on when you come on the page, you've got like the graphical banner. I have my little video trailer. Then below it, you've got the lists of videos. And what I've done is I've had the first list be recent uploads. And this scrolls horizontally, so you can kind of scroll through the lists of recent videos. But I also added things from my other channels, too. So, for example, CT Tech Junkie, which is the tech site I write for, I put the videos that I shot for that up there. So you can link in content from other channels that you might have. I then have a topical one where I created a list based on the tag Ouya for the Ouya game console. And then you can scroll through all the stuff that I did on there. So it's a neat way to kind of consolidate your information, especially when somebody's checking you out for the first time and they want to see what else is available. It can actually drive subscriptions if you have things well organized on the front page. So that's why I did that.
And then you can also set up featured channels that are things that are similar to what you're doing as well. So Lon's set up some featured channels. One of them is Behind the Video. Another one is your dad's channel, right, as well.
And the tech site.
And so you want to take a look at all the different things that you can build out and manipulate. And let's say that all of a sudden one of the lists that you created becomes important. Like, let's say that you have a Xbox One list Well, that is pretty relevant right now, so you want to bring that list up to the top. So if something became timely, you'd want to move that list so that when people come to the channel and they see it, then they're like, ooh, I got to check that out. I need to subscribe. Boom.
Boom, and they're in. So that is the long and the short of the channels thing, and you can spend a lifetime doing all this stuff too. So
yeah, and it changes all the time, right?
Oh yeah, it does. And our friend Dane actually just started up a podcast that the name escapes me at the moment, but I'll post it on the channel where he looks at like these things in like 15-minute spurts on some of the things you can do to improve your channel. So it is worth.
I thought you were going to say he looks at what they change every 15
and
minutes.
That too, because that's what happens. Things will change quite frequently. So, all right, let's move on to the news because the baby's getting her mug out and she's starting to wrap it against the crib upstairs. Get me out of here.
Jailbreak. It's coming.
Yeah. See, the good thing is she can't stand up yet, so we've got a little bit more time here. So let's take a look at the YouTube charts. The YouTube. Now, here's what I'm doing for this week. And by the way, Matt thanks us for the information on Twitter. Here's what we're doing this week. So I'm looking back at the channels now, and I'm pulling out all the Vevo channels. So I'm looking at just things that people make. So by that metric, number five is the Ellen Show, and she had 30 million views this week. And that's got to be a pretty valuable property, given that there are not a lot of channels that appeal to that demographic, you know, women that are, you know, in middle-aged women, I think is probably her demo, right?
Yep.
Ellen Show. That's, you don't see a lot of that on YouTube, so she's doing pretty well. I would imagine a lot of those videos are being shared through social channels. You know, we unfortunately don't get access
all
to
over
that.
Pinterest, right?
Yeah, exactly. Pinterest and all the Huffington Posts and everything else. Number four is the Disney Collector. She's in at number four at 37 million views. She's going to do really well at holiday time. She's probably booking her retirement.
Well, yeah, like right now she's probably doing really well, right?
Yeah, we'll see how she does later in the year. But it's unbelievable. I'm in awe of what she does. And you know what? What's funny is that there's people now doing exactly what she does, but you know what? She's built the audience, right? So she's
right.
going to get
everybody
a lot of
everybody else is playing catch up.
Yeah, we got. I'm going to try to reach out to her. I don't even know how, but maybe we'll try to get her on the show to talk about her secrets if she wants to reveal them. Number three is that Turkish music channel, Muyap, at 45 million. And that is that one continues to be up there in the charts. It might just be there's not a lot of avenues amongst traditional Turkish media for this kind of content.
So absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So they found a niche there.
Super serving a niche.
Super serving a niche. And, you know, there's Turkish communities all over the world. So, you know, you're able to connect back to home with that. So that's really cool. Number two is an awesome video from Volvo Trucks. And I say video because they posted this video of Jean-Claude Van Damme doing a split in between. He's standing on the mirrors of two moving Volvo trucks, which was
nice.
Awesome. If you haven't seen it, check it out. I will never be as manly as Jean-Claude Van Damme because I would totally hurt myself doing what he was doing. And then, of course, number one is, hey, bro, PewDiePie.
PewDiePie.
47.9 million views. What a absolute genius that guy is. I think he is. I don't know. I mean, he's making it work. So, hey, so TubeFilter is asking the question, why are there almost no ads on Yahoo's screen? And I guess the screen launched on September of 2013. Great new user interface. Some really high-profile programming, according to the TubeFilter article, that includes Saturday Night Live, among many other things. And they're not getting there's almost zero advertising on it. And
yeah, I think
it doesn't surprise
normal.
Me. Does it surprise you? It doesn't
no,
surprise
not
me.
At all. That it's normal for a new platform to launch and not have any advertising, because they can't sell the advertising because they don't have the statistics of how many people watched.
It's a chicken and the egg kind of problem, right?
Yeah, you got to have the views before people are going to be willing to buy. So that's it. You know, one of the other things when it comes to advertising, I had a conversation with somebody that's run a network in this space for a long time, and what happens where people want to control their own ad inventory, they'll build out a video site, they'll build out their website, and they'll figure out a way that they can serve ads themselves. But rather than start by selling their own ad inventory, they'll plug in an ad network,
right,
like a Yumi, and right, they become addicted to that,
right,
to the point of where they get somebody on the hook that wants to buy direct, and then that person figures out that they don't need to buy direct. They can just go to Yumi and buy through Yumi.
And so, a third of the price.
or maybe even
less than
greater discount. Yeah.
Right, right.
And so it becomes this addiction on an ad network, and they never can get in the position where they can go cold turkey on the ad network to the point where they can build out their own ad sales team. So it's a really dangerous place to be in, and it's something to consider. Like, if your goal is to have advertising be your main source of revenue, and you plan on building out an ad sales team, you really need to think about that transition, or not even using an ad network to begin with.
Don't take the cheap date, because you will pay for it.
Yeah, you will pay for it one way or another.
And, you know, to some degree, too, this is part of the problem in the industry right now, is that, you know, it is so hard. Even if you have traffic, it is so hard to break through into major brands, because they, and I can tell you this from experience, 3 years doing this, it is, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's next to impossible.
It definitely is, especially when you don't have reach and you're not going to move the needle for them, and it's just inconvenient.
Right. And that's why in our network that I do here locally, we found a real niche where we do have the reach that people are looking for, plus the audience. And
I would think for you, local car dealerships would be a great place to start.
It's not bad, although, you know what, there's such an established marketing industry around it that they do so much display advertising through exchanges that, they, you know, and this is the problem, I think, that really is plaguing the industry right now. And YouTube almost solves this a little bit, or starting to, because they have measurements for what's quality versus not quality. But on the display advertising front, you know, even with remarketing and even with just a flat out buy, they don't care if they show up on crap.
Here, let me throw this out at you as a different way of doing it. Let's say that you did a local event at a car dealership, and you do a live show from a car dealership where people who are interested in the information that you're providing come down there to meet with you and be a guest on the show.
Right. Well, that would be something that they would do.
See, sure. That's
almost like the radio station kind of approach to it, right?
Exactly. Yep. Stuff that traditional media can't do. Mm-hmm. Or that they used to do, but since there's no TV station that covers your market, you fill in the gap.
That's a great idea. So event-driven stuff.
I will send you my consulting fee later.
I'll write you the check when we get done with the show today.
Go.
So bookkeeping time is Sunday afternoon. So
thanks.
So YouTube, speaking of which, is opening up its mobile app for advertisers, which is good for everybody. I've been seeing ads on there, so I guess maybe there's a new premium ad unit that they're adding to the iOS application. So I think we'll see more of that. I watch a lot of YouTube on my iPad. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, I definitely want to play with it, especially when it comes to ebooks, and see if I can, now with ebooks, I can target pretty much anybody on the new OS, because you can read iBooks on your MacBook Air, or you can read them on your iPad. And so I think come Christmas time, when everybody gets new computers and tablets iPads, that's going to be a great time to start advertising. Now, I don't recommend advertising on Google unless you have something to sell. Don't spend your money building an audience for something where you don't have a cash register set up. Really, really important to have that cash register in place before you start spending money on advertising.
Right. Plus, you can measure it better when you do it. You know, that's your measurement, is if you sold something, you know it's working. You know, you can set up conversion links and whatever, but you know it's not going to be the same unless you really have some goals built in. So Machinima and Ridley Scott were going to do some big batch of sci-fi shorts, and now the deal's dead. Wonder what that's about. This is according to TubeFilter. You heard anything about this, Tim?
I always forget what I can say and what I can't say.
Got
I was
it.
Over
so
at
I don't
Machinima.
Keep you out of trouble.
I was over at Machinima this week for a meeting, and
we won't say more about it. I know nothing about this, but here's what I will say. I was surprised that when Machinima did the Battlestar Galactica prequel thing, I was surprised that the viewership was not greater than it ended up being. And I wonder if maybe, you know, when you do the math on the fact that, you know, these videos are so dependent on people watching to earn the revenue versus people buying. You know, you could Ridley Scott could do a $15 sale of a web short, versus trying to get an audience built for. I think the upfront marketing on that is hard to make back. That's my opinion.
Yeah, one of the conversations that's come up several times this last week was about Jeffrey Katzenberg from DreamWorks offering to, I think it was it Breaking Bad or Walking Dead? I can't remember which one it was, but he really wanted to put together a deal.
It was Breaking Bad, right. He wanted to continue the story, right.
He wanted to continue the story and charge 99 cents per episode. That conversation has come up several times. So you take a look at it. What would he be doing in that case? He would be super serving an underserved audience.
Right.
They've come to the end of the line. They want more of their show. It doesn't exist. How can they get it? Boom, in walks Mr. DreamWorks. And for 99 cents, you get what you want.
And I can tell you what, I know of so many shows that I would pay for. And, you know, the problem has been that the season passes that they sell on iTunes are so expensive. It's like $40 a season. Yeah. I mean, that's what you would pay for the DVD. But you know what? For me,
that's your cable bill for a month, right? Yeah, for basic cable.
And I watch this stuff once. You know, like I buy like the movies that I love, I buy on Blu-ray because I know I'll watch them again. You know, but the stuff that I watch once, it's not for a one-off. Yeah. I'll just set the DVR. So
you just want to rent it.
Yeah, and just kind of run with it. So Endemol, big TV.
Endemol,
big TV production facility there. They do reality, unreality, you name it.
American Idol, is that?
They did American Idol. Didn't they do like Big Brother too? I mean, they do it all.
Yeah, what they do, just so you understand, they will create a show, and it can be anywhere in the world. Let's say it's in the UK. Mm-hmm. I think they did Fear Factor. Maybe it's one of their shows. I could be getting it wrong because there's Fremantle and there's Endemol, and they both do the same thing. So basically what they do is they come up with a show that works in one market, and it might be in America, and then they do a British version, and then they do a German version, and then they do a Japanese version. Anywhere where it makes sense for that brand to roll out, they'll roll it out in that market. And so that's what they're in the business from. And this week they,
according to TubeFilter, are creating a $40 million multi-channel network.
There you go.
That's a big deal.
And they tapped Mr. Will Keenan as president.
Mm-hmm. And what's his history?
So Will was at Maker, and Will's been involved in the independent film world. I think he's done his time at like Troma, doing different things in the independent film world, Sundance Crowd, that kind of stuff. And he's been at Maker for a while, helping out the Maker folks. And now he's been tapped as president. So I'm going to try to see if we can get him on the show.
Oh, that'd be awesome to get him on. Yeah,
so it'd be interesting to talk to him about what he's seen both from traditional and from new media, because he's been thick in it. And a pretty accessible guy. I see him at a lot of events in Hollywood.
So I'd love to hear the business case for this. I mean, these MCNs are definitely doing something, and they're certainly not going out of business, but there's so much venture capital they're burning through right now versus revenue. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about the whole, what they're making to make a real comment on it. But I look at it from, I get MCM, these are like nowhere near the caliber of Maker, but right. I'm getting MCM requests every day from these like fly by night, people looking for me to give my AdSense account over for nothing. They'll market me, but I don't see the value there. But, if I had, if this cost me a lot of money to produce, I guess there would be more value to it. But we've talked about this a lot. But
I should hook you up. I got one you should meet.
Okay, cool. I'll be happy to. Because I think if there was a real connection between the overall viewership increasing, that would be something worth looking at.
Movies.
Speaking of which, not really, but sort of. Movies are out, and people are watching them this weekend. And we're getting into Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's like a big movie weekend, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So we've got some big releases on the horizon here. Now, again, note the split between, not the Jean-Claude and Van Damme split, but the dollar split between the lower three and the top two, okay?
Yep.
So, actually, I'm sorry, the lower four and the top one. So, yeah. Free Birds is that kids movie about the turkeys. That's got a limited lifespan, $5.1 million this weekend, just shy of $50 million overall. Delivery Man, that's a Vince Vaughn film. Where he's like wanted by the mob, and he discovers that he's the father of 500 kids from a sperm bank donation he made, and now like the kids are suing him to get his identity, and he's afraid the mob is going to kill. I mean, what a complicated story.
I have a Vince Vaughn story for you, real quick.
Let's hear it.
This kid that I know, He's on a cross-country team, and he was running, and he got separated from the other kids.
Yep.
And so he needed to figure out where he was and how to get back to the school. So he knocked on a door, and Vince Vaughn answered it.
He knocked on Vince Vaughn's house. Door.
Yeah.
Was he helpful, or did he kick him off?
Yeah, no. He got directions on how to get back to the main street and
that's
get
great.
Back to school. Yeah,
because I'll tell you what, if that was me running that race, I would be that guy because I am I'm a walker. So best man holiday. We talked about this last week. 50.6 million overall, which nobody expected, but I think it shows, again, you serve a niche and you're going to do well. This weekend, $3.8 million. Thor, which was last week's big release, only made $14.4 million this weekend, but $168 million overall. And number one, The Hunger Games, no surprise, the sequel, at $153 million. And what an amazing story that is.
You know what's so funny is that, like, there is no one in my circle of friends that is talking about Hunger Games. Like,
yeah, mine either. Yep.
That is definitely, those people that go to that movie and spend are not people that talk to me.
Yep, and same with me.
Or if they do talk to me, they don't talk to me about Hunger Games.
No, that's exactly
like
my
thing. Like, the only place I hear about Hunger Games is in the media.
Yep, that's for me as well. And Jennifer Lawrence, by the way, I just adore her. I think she... she's legit. You know what I mean?
Your wife is a black belt in karate?
She is. This is strictly platonic adoration, I will say. Because
you enjoy her articles.
I enjoy her. Well, yeah. I mean, actually, what I like about her is the fact that she walks into these interviews, and she's smart. I mean, let's face it. She's playing off of this now. But, you know, she walks into these interviews and doesn't sugarcoat herself. You know, she's not, you know, riding the company line. She's just talking what's on her mind, and it's funny because she doesn't
is she twerking?
She's not twerking. She's okay. Respecting
just
herself.
She's
like, you know, I think she realizes, you know what, too, like, I think she recognizes the value that young women have placed in her character and in her, and she's, you know, she's taking that seriously. So I like her. I think she she's actually, you know what it is, I got into a discussion on Google Plus about this with a few people. I think there's a genuine quality about her that comes out in her interviews that a lot of other people in her position don't have.
She's no Joey Lawrence.
Exactly. So now, enough about her. Amazon makes its first exclusive movie deal, and it's with A24. This is according to The Wrap. Spring Breakers and The Spectacular Now will be available to Amazon Prime subscribers, and A24 has tapped Amazon as the exclusive subscription home for its movies, and that is the first such deal for the tech giant. Amazon also has its series that came out this week, too.
Yeah, with John Goodman, right?
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
I watched a little bit of the first episode. Looks fun.
As good as, like, House of Cards? Well, it's more of a comedy than House of Cards.
It's a little quirky. I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely going to watch another episode, just haven't got to it.
Yeah, see, for me, it's another app I got to remember to load up. And this is the thing, I'm paying for all this stuff. I'm an Amazon Prime member, so I'm getting other benefits from it.
Yeah, but I look at Amazon Prime, like, just the being able to watch the videos for free as a bonus. Like, sometimes I forget I have it. I mean, for me, it's about the free shipping, right?
Exactly. That's the whole thing is the free shipping. So, speaking of which, let me wrap up our show this week with our tip of the app of the week. So I ordered the and you know what, Tim, I don't have time to play video games anymore, yet I still have these consoles all over the place.
Right.
And I look at it now as a professional obligation to my audience. So
yep.
So I decided that I would order the Xbox One over the PS4, mainly because the Xbox has some validity to my home entertainment in addition to the gaming, right?
Okay.
Because the TV is all that stuff.
Yep.
So that was my justification. So
sure.
back in June,
right,
I go on Amazon. And let me preface this by saying Amazon's been very good to me, so I'm not going to bitch too much about them. But I go back there. I pre-order the day one edition of the Xbox One.
Yep.
And with the assumption that day one means it shows up on day one. So, you know, we get to the day before day one, and, you know, Amazon Prime, the whole nine there.
Yep.
And it says, you're not getting it till Monday, day four.
Yeah.
And guess what? I scheduled, like, a live, I was going to do a live Q&A with my audience, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, racking my head here. This is not good because, you know, the Xbox One is not showing up.
Yep.
By the way, whatever you said earlier, Doug Hardy thought was funny. So in our Q&A.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. I need more of that. I need to be funnier.
He's more funny. So needless to say, this thing hasn't shown up yet. So it's coming Monday. So if you're interested in the Xbox One, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, we're going to do a live Q&A, similar to how we do this show, and you can call in and or type in and tell me what you want me to show you on it. We'll kind of tear it down and look at it. A friend of mine was going to come by with his because he was waiting online at midnight for his. I do not wait online for midnight for anything.
So I have an Xbox One story. You may have heard this. It's out there. I should have found it for the show. So a while back, guy's on the Target site, and he stumbles across Xbox One for sale. So he goes ahead and orders it.
Oh, that's right. It showed up early,
Target.
Right?
Yeah. It showed up early.
Right.
So he goes into GameStop. He buys an Xbox One game, and they're like, why are you buying this game? He's like, well, I got an Xbox One. They're like, no, everybody's freaking out, blah, 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 blah. He goes back to his house. He makes an unboxing video.
Right.
He posts it. Takedown notice. Boom.
They banned him? Or they took it down?
They banned him. They took him down. They squashed him. Apparently somebody at Target messed up, and it was an accident, and somehow it made it through the shipping, blah, blah, blah. You know, they said he could have his video back after it launched, but
And this is what ticks me off, is that here's some dude who spent his money, right? Goes and buys a stupid thing. Did nothing nothing wrong.
Yep.
He's like, hey, I'm going to, being first on YouTube means a lot. And meanwhile, like The Verge and CNN and everybody else gets it for nothing, and they're allowed to keep their videos up, but this poor guy can't. That's crap.
Yeah. That's America, man.
I know. I'm telling you, it's like there's no justice in this world. So hopefully he contested that takedown, because that's not cool. But I will have my Xbox in hand tomorrow, so we will do a legit live review of the whole thing. And I've got a guy calling in who's a expert on these things, and he's got both the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox, so we'll get his this is like Commodore versus Apple.
So are you going to do a Will It Blend episode?
No, I don't like that people buy these expensive things and they blow them up, and I don't know. I mean, I guess if you make enough money doing it, but there's so many people now buy this stuff and break it that you'll never make your money back on it. So
yeah, it'll be broken soon enough, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Once the baby gets a hold of it, it's over with. You know, back when the days of wired controllers, your consoles never lasted a kid brother or sister. So speaking of which, Tim, the little one is making some noise up there, and I think she's going to be expecting to be extricated from her.
Better go change her batteries.
Yeah, go change her batteries there. So we'll be back again next week, because we'll have a guest likely and talk about all sorts of things happening in the online video world. Again, you can check out my review of the Xbox One tomorrow night, 8 p.m., and, well, Monday, the whatever date that's going to be. What is that, the 25th? On my YouTube channel, LONSEIDMAN. It'll be DVR'd on there, so you can watch it after the fact, so check that out. Tim, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At One Tim Street.
So find Tim there. You can find me at Lon Seidman on Twitter as well. And this show is at BehindTheVideo.com, and we record every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. We have a live Q&A going on, so you can always ask a question mid-show and have it answered like Matt did earlier. So check it out, and we will be back again next week. Find us on Stitcher and iTunes and YouTube, and subscribe, because that's important. So
subscribe.
Do that. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. So that will do it for this edition. I'm going to go deal with the screaming baby, and this show is a wrap.
Stories for this episode were compiled by producer Jason Perrier. Follow him on Twitter at JASONPERRIER. Behind the Video is a production of Ape Digital Incorporated and the Independent Media Network, LLC. All rights reserved.